So picture a small Swiss e-commerce office.
Okay.
It's your classic tight-knit operation, right? You've got a team of about 15 people. They're moving incredibly fast, and they're handling a customer base of roughly 75,000.
Wow. 75,000 customers with just 15 people. That's a heavy load.
Exactly. It's a lot. And it's just a normal Tuesday. You've got the usual daily grind, the clicking of keyboards, that low hum of stressed problem solving.
Right, the usual startup
Yeah.
chaos.
And then a single instruction drops into their company group chat. It simply says, "Tell us everything you wish AI could do for you. No filter. Think big."
Oh, I love that. It feels almost like a psychological pressure test.
How so?
Well, you're handing a blank check to a team that is actively drowning in the day-to-day operations of scaling a business.
Right. And the response was wild. Our mission for today's deep dive is unpacking the explosive results of that one simple prompt.
Yeah, the data here is incredible.
It really is. Four team members from across six different departments responded. And within just one day, that single question unleashed an outpouring of 53 concrete, highly specific AI requests.
53 in one day.
In one day. Okay, let's unpack this, because this isn't a story about massive tech conglomerates building million-dollar server farms. This is a human story.
Framing it around the human element is crucial here. I mean, the media cycle heavily indexes on the billion-dollar models, right? The boardroom drama, the theoretical capabilities of next-generation infrastructure.
Yeah, the stuff that feels very far removed from normal people.
Exactly. But the true AI revolution is actually happening right now in the trenches of small and medium-sized businesses.
Totally.
This deep dive isn't about code, it's about human frustration. It's about this desperate desire to escape manual drudgery.
Yeah, and we're going to look at this chronologically because the evolution of their ideas is just fascinating. The prompt drops, and immediately 39 requests come flooding in during the morning,
Right out of the gate.
right out of the gate. And I want to start with the commercial director. She drops this confession into the chat that is incredibly relatable if you have ever worked in e-commerce.
Oh, the morning firefighter comment.
Yes. She says she spends 90 minutes every single morning just figuring out what promotion to run. She literally calls herself the morning firefighter.
That phrase, morning firefighter, it perfectly encapsulates the operational reality of almost every SME.
It really does.
You do not start your day being strategic. You start your day putting out the flames from the night before.
Yeah, the 3 a.m. customer complaints.
Exactly. And think about what those 90 minutes actually entail for her.
Yeah.
She isn't just staring at a wall brainstorming. She is downloading CSV files from Shopify.
Ugh, the spreadsheets.
Right. She's cross-referencing inventory levels in a totally different software, looking at yesterday's ad spend on Meta, and trying to synthesize all that unstructured data in her head to make essentially a gut feeling decision on a discount code.
It's exhausting. It's just low-level cognitive labor.
It is.
So her no-filter wish is to just stop fighting those fires entirely. She wants 10,000 qualified daily visitors and $20,000 in daily online sales running on pure autopilot.
Which is a huge goal.
Huge. She specifically notes that special promotions should be a bonus, not the survival money keeping the lights on.
Right.
And she wants to become the Wikipedia of our product for SEO. So automated education flows that turn casual browsers into brand loyalists. She even asked for an AI-managed network of online distributors across Amazon and Etsy.
Notice the pairing there. It's the highly creative mixed with the deeply administrative.
Yeah.
She wants massive strategic growth. But she knows she can't get there because of the operational quicksand.
Exactly. And the operations director chimed in right after with purely practical infrastructural demands.
Like what?
Well, they want an AI to auto-generate supplier orders, but not just a dumb script that reorders when stock hits zero.
Right, they want something smarter.
Exactly. They want an intelligent system that balances minimum stock requirements, dynamically searches for the lowest cost across global suppliers, and cross-references that with the company's real-time financial capacity in their accounting software.
See, that is complex decision making.
It really is. They also want an AI to instantly auto-respond to customer delivery delays. And this is the crazy part. If the AI doesn't know the answer, they want it to ping the warehouse team on Slack, extract the shipping data, and then seamlessly go back and email the customer.
What's fascinating here is the underlying psychology.
How so?
Well, in a significant portion of public discourse, AI is viewed with this heavy underlying dread.
Yeah.
Right? The job stealer, the replacement algorithm coming for white collar work.
Yeah, the whole Terminator narrative.
Exactly. But in this Swiss group chat, Among these 15 people, the technology is viewed as a rescue operation.
A rescue operation. I like that.
They are begging for cognitive offloading. They want the machine to take the weight of the routine maintenance so they can actually do the strategic jobs they were hired to do in the first place.
I look at the commercial director's current job, like she is standing out in a massive bone-dry field with a single garden hose every single morning.
Okay, yeah.
Just desperately running around trying to keep all these different crops alive. And what she's asking for in this chat isn't a slightly wire hose.
No.
She is asking for a fully automated underground smart sprinkler system equipped with moisture sensors so she can finally drop the hose entirely and focus on planting new seeds.
That visual captures the transition perfectly. And as the morning brainstorm progressed, you see the rest of the team grasp that exact concept.
Right.
The commercial and ops directors were initially focused on the burden of maintenance, you know, putting out fires, managing the baseline. But then the CRM and marketing leads took this prompt and realized the baseline could be automated.
They saw the bigger picture.
Exactly. They immediately saw an opportunity to go on the offensive. The posture of the entire company shifted from reactive survival to proactive strategy.
Yeah, because the CRM manager steps into the chat and their vision is remarkably aggressive.
Oh yeah, they didn't hold back.
No, they don't just want a tool to manage email lists. They want a daily AI curated list of high potential prospects.
Enriched data.
Right. Enriched with buying capacity, purchase rhythm, historical basket data, and highly specific product interests based on past browsing behavior. And the CRM manager literally ended the request with the instruction, "Then we attack."
Then we attack. It is a visceral, deeply competitive phrase.
It really is.
It demonstrates that the frontline workers had the energy and the desire to drive massive revenue.
Yeah.
They are simply bottlenecked by the sheer human hours it takes to manually sift through customer data to figure out who is actually ready to buy.
Yeah, the data entry is what's killing them.
Right. So when you introduce an AI that can process millions of data points in seconds to identify buying signals like someone lingering on a checkout page for a specific jacket three times in 1 week, you remove the bottleneck.
And they also want to automate the entire communication layer. The CRM manager asked for an AI phone bot that handles all customer calls.
All of them.
All of them. They want AI ticket triage, where basic exchanges get direct, immediate responses, quality issues get flagged and assigned to a human manager, and purchase requests get escalated instantly.
That's a massive time saver.
It is. They even asked for adaptive promotional content that changes daily based on regional weather and the inferred mood of the customer.
From a technical standpoint, executing that manually across 75,000 customers is physically impossible for a team of 15.
Right.
But with current LLMs tied to CRM databases and live weather APIs, the AI can see that it's raining in Munich, pull a list of customers in Munich who previously bought waterproof gear, and instantly generate a hyper-personalized email offering a matching umbrella.
Which brings us to the DAH marketing lead, the person handling the German, Austrian, and Swiss markets. They echoed this exact need for leverage.
What did they ask for?
They want to automate the tedious daily Excel sheets that track newsletter send counts and revenue. They want AI agents to scrape the web to find niche trade fairs, identify the specific leasing contacts at German department store chains, and draft the pitch emails for pop-up stands.
Wow.
Yeah, and they want to grow their German language Instagram following with genuinely active users rather than generic bots.
It is a complete outsourcing of the top of funnel research phase.
Mm.
They're asking the AI to do the heavy lifting of lead generation so the humans can step in to close the deal.
Let me push back on this vision for a second, though, because we need to look at what they are actually building here.
Sure.
If an AI is handling literally all the phone calls, doing all the ticket triage, scraping the internet for leads, sending out adaptive promos based on whether it's raining outside, and tracking a customer's mood, doesn't a small company risk losing its human soul?
That's the big fear, right?
Yeah. I mean, the entire appeal of buying from a 15-person Swiss brand is that you are not dealing with a faceless corporate machine.
Every business deploying these tools is going to have to navigate that exact tension.
Right.
But if you look closely at the CRM manager's exact words in the raw source material, they preemptively address this concern.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Their ultimate stated goal for wanting all this automation is to, quote, free staff from routine so they can focus on high-value human contact.
Mm. Let me make sure I understand the distinction they are making.
They aren't trying to eliminate the human element. They're trying to protect it.
Okay, explain that.
Right now, the human employee is acting like a digital router. They're sorting support tickets, answering basic shipping timeline questions, filling out cells in an Excel spreadsheet.
Just moving data around?
Exactly. There is nothing inherently human or soulful about copy-pasting a tracking number.
That's fair.
The vision this team has is that the AI handles the data processing and the routine routing so the human can handle the actual relationship building. When a customer has a genuine problem or a massive wholesale order is on the line, the human steps in with full focus and energy because they aren't exhausted from 3 hours of inbox triage.
So the human gets to step in when empathy or complex negotiation actually matters, rather than when someone just needs a password reset.
Precisely.
That distinction completely changes the narrative. And clearly, this thought exercise struck a nerve with the team because they went to lunch and the brainstorm kept running in the background of their minds.
Oh, they came back for more?
Oh, yeah. They came back 6 hours later and the avalanche continued. They dropped 14 more requests into the chat.
Which serves as proof that once you give a constrained workforce permission to dream without operational limits, they literally cannot turn off the ideation.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The afternoon session takes on a completely different flavor. The morning was about fixing the present and surviving the day. The afternoon was about inventing the future.
The horizon expanded from the next 24 hours to the next 3 years.
Exactly. The commercial director comes back and says she wants full professional-level website redesigns dynamically generated by AI based on user segments.
Dynamically generated, wow.
Yeah. She wants AI to auto-publish new product listings with perfect SEO optimization simultaneously in three different languages.
That's huge for a European market.
Totally. She is asking for recurring engagement themes to keep customers coming back habitually, like AI-generated weekly horoscopes or hyper-specific weather-based styling tips.
She's really leaning into it now.
Oh, she looked at the growing list the team was building, and her reaction in the chat was, "This is incredible, a new era."
To go from starting the day as a stressed morning firefighter to declaring a new era by 4 euro p.m. shows a massive psychological shift.
And the CRM manager went straight into sci-fi prediction mode. They moved completely past basic automation and asked for an AI that can predict the next successful product before they even design it.
Predictive design.
Yes. They want the system to analyze active shopping carts, past purchase behavior, trending materials, patterns, colors across social media, and their own customer reviews to tell the manufacturing team exactly what to make next.
That is next level.
They also dreamed up this highly personalized customer dashboard they called a brand wardrobe.
The brand wardrobe concept is a brilliant piece of product design.
Right.
Instead of a static e-commerce homepage that looks the same to everyone, they are conceptualizing a generative user interface. The AI builds a custom storefront for every single user.
It knows what you want before you do.
Exactly. It knows your favorite colors. It knows your size. It provides a one-click rebuy button for consumables. It manages your wish list. And it proactively prompts you with relational gift ideas, like Christmas is coming. What about this for your spouse based on what you bought them last year?
And meanwhile, the DACH marketing lead pushed right into hyper-local community building. They didn't just want passive Instagram growth anymore.
What was their next step?
They wanted to manage targeted massive WhatsApp campaigns, cleanly segmented by language dialects across Germany and French-speaking Switzerland.
Dialects, that's incredibly specific.
Yeah, they want to build a real enthusiastic community directly inside people's private messaging apps, which requires an AI capable of understanding cultural nuance and parsing two-way conversations at scale.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are looking at a profound realization.
What's up?
Here you have four humans, four e-commerce employees with absolutely zero technical AI expertise, no computer science degrees, no background in machine learning.
Right, just normal business folks.
Exactly. And just by being asked one frictionless question, they accidentally built a comprehensive state-of-the-art digital transformation roadmap in a matter of hours.
It's wild.
The bottleneck to innovation in the broader economy isn't a lack of ideas from the workforce. The pain points are deeply felt, and the strategic solutions are clearly articulated by the people doing the work.
Which brings us to the massive pivot point of this deep dive. If a team of 15 people in Switzerland can map out the entire future of e-commerce in one day, why isn't every small business in the world operating like this?
Yeah, that's the big question.
Why are we reading about this team as a unique, fascinating experiment instead of just standard operating procedure for the global economy?
To answer that, we have to pull back and look at the macro industry data. The statistics paint a very stark, almost uncomfortable picture of a deeply divided economy.
The gap is wild. According to 2025 data from the OECD, 20.2% of all firms are now using AI.
Right.
On the surface, 20% sounds modest, but that represents a 132% jump from where the data sat in 2023. The adoption curve is accelerating violently, but it is not evenly distributed across the business landscape.
No, it's not. There's a massive adoption gap based entirely on company size.
How big of a gap?
In the European Union, 55% of large enterprises are deeply integrated with AI. When you look at small businesses, that number plummets to 17%.
Wow.
That is a 38-point gap.
So big corporations are essentially building fully automated, AI-driven factories, while small businesses are still trying to figure out how to plug in the conveyor belt.
That's a great way to put it.
And even among the small businesses that are using it, most are just tinkering on the edges, maybe writing an email or brainstorming a blog post. If we zoom in on Switzerland specifically, since that's where our e-commerce team is based, the overall AI adoption rate hit 46%, which is up 48% year over year.
Okay, so it's growing fast there.
It is. The institutional projection is that 2026 is the tipping point where Swiss SMEs shift from using AI as co-pilots to deploying them as autonomous agents.
We need to define that shift because it represents the entire friction point of the economy right now.
Let's do it. What's the difference?
A co-pilot is essentially a highly intelligent digital intern. It sits there waiting for you to type a specific prompt, and then it gives you text or an image back.
Right.
You still have to do the thinking, the prompting, and the execution. An agent is entirely different. An agent's like a project manager. You give it a high-level goal, like the ops director asking to auto-clean the website of dead products. The agent autonomously logs into the back end, searches for products with zero inventory and no reorder dates, drafts the redirects, unpublishes the pages, and messages the team when the job is done.
That is the leap the Swiss team was asking for. They didn't want a chatbot. They wanted agents.
Exactly.
But the source data highlights a massive roadblock. 58% of those Swiss SMEs cite a lack of workforce skills as the primary barrier preventing them from making that leap.
Which leads perfectly into what the industry is calling the readiness crisis.
The readiness crisis.
Yeah. 51% of business leaders openly admit they fundamentally do not understand how AI works under the hood or how it actually integrates into their specific legacy systems.
So what does this all mean for you? If you are listening to this right now and you've ever felt like your entire morning is eaten up by inbox triage, fighting yesterday's fires, and manually moving data from one screen to another, this Swiss team's experiment is basically a mirror reflecting your own hidden potential.
Absolutely.
You likely have your own list of 53 brilliant ideas. But if your leadership doesn't know how to plug the tools in, you are stuck with the garden hose.
This raises an important question about where capital and attention should be flowing.
Yeah.
The main barrier is no longer the raw capability of the technology. We are past the point of wondering if an LLM is capable of generating three-language SEO or parsing local dialects for a WhatsApp campaign.
The tech is there.
The foundational tools are mature and available to anyone with an internet connection. The missing link is translation.
Translation. I like that.
The market doesn't desperately need another billion-dollar foundational model right now. What it needs are bridges. It needs consultants, platforms, or internal champions who can sit down, look at a commercial director spending 90 minutes on morning promotions, and translate that human pain point into an applied automated workflow.
And when those bridges are built, the economic impact is undeniable. The data shows that when small businesses do successfully adopt these tools, the results are staggering.
Give me the numbers.
On average, employees save 5.6 hours every single week.
Wow.
For managers, it's even higher. They save 7.2 hours a week. That is nearly an entire working day handed back to a manager. Think about what a team can do with that recovered time.
They can build a brand wardrobe. They can strategize. They can talk to their highest tier clients.
And it hits the bottom line immediately. 88% of these SMEs report increased revenue.
88%.
88%.
Yeah.
And almost a third of them are seeing revenue jump by more than 10%.
That's massive for a small business.
It is. Simultaneously, 87% report reduced operational costs. It is such a massive economic lever that major global initiatives are being launched just to close this 38-point adoption gap.
Like what kind of initiatives?
We are seeing the 2025 G7 SME blueprint being rolled out across allied nations. And OpenAI themselves just launched a European accelerator specifically targeting 20,000 SMEs to provide hands-on implementation guidance.
So the institutional level finally recognizes what that Swiss group chat proved in a single afternoon.
Yep.
The frontline workers know exactly what is broken, and it's telling that 53% of businesses that adopt AI cite improved employee productivity and satisfaction as the single biggest impact.
The satisfaction piece is key.
The true value proposition isn't replacing the workforce. It's empowering the people who are actually intimately familiar with the daily grind.
It all comes back to that one normal Tuesday, that one group chat, and a team of 15 people who just wanted to stop putting out fires. To wrap up today's deep dive, the journey of this Swiss e-commerce team is a massive wake-up call. Every single small business, every department, every overworked team has its own list of 53 requests hiding just beneath the surface. They are trapped in the heads of the morning firefighters, waiting for someone to ask the right question and give them permission to think big.
The overarching lesson here challenges our definition of expertise.
How do you mean?
This team generated a comprehensive, technically viable AI strategy with absolutely zero technical background. It proves that the most visionary AI strategists aren't necessarily the developers writing code in Silicon Valley.
Right.
They are the frustrated employees doing the manual labor in your own office. But it leaves us with a fascinating paradox to consider.
Okay, what's that?
If these tools become universally adopted, if AI eventually levels the playing field, so every small business has perfect SEO, automated operations, and hyper-personalized marketing, what becomes the new competitive advantage?
Mm-hmm.
As you look at your own work or your own team, consider this. If you were handed a blank piece of paper right now to write your own no-filter AI wish list, would your first request be about making more money or simply buying back your own time?